In 2013, when I went to visit the US again, I had been away from that country for over 2 years. That was the longest absence in the 20 plus years I have lived in the United States. Landing in San Francisco, it felt as if nothing had changed. It was summer and the fog was rolling in. It felt good to be back among the familiar pleasures of my old city, to breathe fresh, clean air, to feel the sting of wasabi with sushi at the neighborhood restaurant, to walk into a public library. But some things were changing as well. Rents were going through the roof, and chic little bistros and restaurants selling designer beers were popping up on streets where there had once been laundromats and corner stores. One other thing had changed. India had changed in American eyes. When I met old journalist colleagues, they all had the same question. What's going on with Indian men? Rape was the big story coming out of India, and I did not know how to explain it.
I believe we're just getting that big piece of breaking news that all four convicts have now been handed out the death sentence by that special fast-track court in Saket. That's the big story that we're getting.
The Indian man was the beast on the rampage, and an Indian-American friend said he was happy people often mistook him for a Latino. It seemed ever since the Delhi gang rape from last December, the story had just gotten worse and worse. There was a little girl in Delhi, a Mumbai journalist, a college student from the suburbs of Kolkata. The list kept getting longer and longer, and it still is. Our eat, pray, love image abroad was turning into eat, pray, rape. India had lost face in the eyes of the world, though that is really the least of India's problems. Losing face, that is. The problem is rape has become such an unexceptional crime here. However, by the time the end of the year rolled around, it was the United States whose image had taken a battering in Indian eyes. The treatment meted out to Devyani Khobragade, the Indian consular official accused of underpaying her domestic help in New York, had news shows in India in an uproar.
It is the first time that it's become an international incident.
Of course.
A few years ago, there was an Italian consular officer who was arrested. There was a Taiwanese consular officer. There is standard operating procedure.
No, was the Italian officer strip searched? I'm asking you specifically. Is this part of standard operating?
America was accused of double standards. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, until then the golden example of the Indian-American achiever, was excoriated in India for trying to be more American than thou. The United States was now the big bully as far as Indians were concerned, and tit-for-tat measures followed. The Indian government dismantled barricades outside the U.S. embassy. No more film screenings there. Let's go after their imported wine and cheese. With elections up next year, India was determined not to let the U.S. off the hook easily. Though in all the fuss about India's pride, it was easy to forget, as a consular staff member representing India abroad, Ms. Khobragade enjoyed many rights. The right to a domestic help at cut-rate wages, however, is not one of them. 2013 ended on a rather sour note for Indian-American special relations. It began with a rape story. It ended with a story about American overreach and Indian visa fraud. For someone who makes a home in both countries, it means more awkwardness. Explaining India to Americans who think it's rape central and smarting while Indians excoriate Americans in India. But that's what hyphenated identities are all about. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.